So this morning, I want to share about how to live with joy in a stressed out world. So my question this morning, can you live happy and joyful in this life or in this world? Is it possible? Many people, I remember even my own mother, used to say, it's not possible. You can't be joyful all the time because we have to carry the cross. And unfortunately, people look at Luke chapter 9, verse 23, where it says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And unfortunately, that verse is misunderstood. That's not what it means at all. But I'm not going to speak about that verse today. What I'm going to speak about today, can you live happy and joyful in this world? And I don't have to tell you about the mess we seem to be in at the moment. I'm dreading opening the television and watch the news these days. So I don't know how you are feeling this morning. You may be feeling happy and contented, and everything is going good for you. And if you're feeling like that, that's great. It's really good to feel like that. Or you may not be feeling that good at all. Some of you maybe came here this morning with a heavy heart, feeling weighed down with the stress of this life. But what's for sure this morning is that today some of you are either yourselves under a lot of pressure, or you are very worried or concerned about someone that you care about that is under a lot of stress or under a lot of pressure. That someone could be a wife, a husband, could be a brother or a sister, a daughter or a son, or could be a parent or even someone at work or a neighbor. You know, stress is the word that we use to describe the effects of anxiety or worry. And today I want to share with you some insight into how to live with joy in a stressed out world. So we are going to look at Paul today to see how he was able to live with joy in times of stress, in times of trouble. So we'd like you to open up with me today to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and God, the God of peace, will be with you. Two times here in this letter, Paul urges the Christians at Philippi to rejoice in the Lord, doesn't he? And Paul repeats the call twice here. He says, rejoice. Again, I will say, rejoice. And he says, always. Now, that confused me a bit when he says, always. How can you rejoice? Always. See, rejoicing is not reserved for a special times, perhaps, of worship and praise. Paul says, always. How is that possible? So it's easy to rejoice this morning. I'm sure all of you was rejoicing during the praise and worship. It's easy to rejoice when everything is going good, when we have no problems whatsoever. What I believe Paul is saying here, that in spite of circumstances, In spite of annoyance, disagreements, persecution, rejoice. It doesn't matter what's going on around you or how you're feeling. See, many times we live by feelings. If we feel good, we can rejoice. If things are not going good and we're feeling down, we can't rejoice. So we go by feelings. You see, that's how Paul lived. In a letter to another Macedonian church, he wrote, "Rejoice at all times." So he's writing here to a Macedonian church, "Rejoice at all times." And he wrote to the Philippi church, he said, "Always, always." But in verse 6, now this is the most important verse we will read today. It is here that we find the general principle for overcoming anxiety. And here Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Who do we present our requests when storms come our way? Do we present our requests to God? Is that the first thing we do when we see storms coming our way? See, here Paul says, "Worry about nothing. Pray about everything." I think he's making it very simple, don't you think? Very simple. Don't worry about anything, but rather pray about everything. I think, you know where we go wrong most of the time? It's when we worry about everything, but pray very little. And I've been through that. I can tell you from experience that we will worry about everything, about every little thing. My mother was the same. We had, as you know, I said many times, we had 12 kids. My mom had 12 kids. And she used to sit in the front of the house on a step. And she will not go in until the last one came home to sleep. And she'd be worried and worried. Dad was the opposite. Dad would say, "Get inside, say a prayer, and go to bed." That was my dad's attitude. And I remember even one time we had early 70s, when we had an earthquake, which we felt from Italy. It was pretty bad. And everyone's running in the streets, and the radio came on and said to people, "Go on the streets," and mom is grabbing all the kids, and "Come on, we're going to go out of this building, this house." And dad says, what are you doing? She said, "Well, they're even announcing it on the radio that if God wants you, he'll take you, whether you're in the house or whether you go out somewhere else. Just say a prayer and go to bed." That was always his motto. So what I believe Paul is saying here to us, to take the energy that is used in worrying and put it into prayer. How many of you know that worry takes a lot of energy from you? A lot of energy. I'll tell you about one instance. It would be over 20 years ago. My kids used to go to youth group. I think Elder Gary was the leader then, and Kylie. I'm going back at least 20 years, maybe more. And they used to go out, sometimes concerts, sometimes just simply pictures, wherever they used to go. And they used to come at a certain time. And it was really good. At a certain time, they come home. I can't remember if it was 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. I can't remember. And this day, let's say 9 o'clock for argument's sake. It was 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock, they didn't turn up. My kids didn't turn up. What's happening? And Sue said, "Oh, give him time. He's probably traffic." I said, "Okay, I'll give him a bit of time." 9:30, they haven't come home. And they worry. So I was starting to worry. 10 o'clock, they still haven't come home. I not only started getting upset and worried, I started to feel faintish because my mind was telling me they had an accident. Maybe they're in a hospital. I think it was about 10:30, and they're still not home. I felt so faintish, I had to lay on the bed so not to fall on the floor. If I fainted, I won't fall on the floor. Anyway, that's how much energy it took out of me, just worrying. Anyway, they finally came home. And I said to the kids, "What's happened?" They said, "Oh, we went to a concert, and after that we were all hungry, so we stopped at McDonald's. Have something to eat." What should I have been doing? Instead of letting my mind take me where it wanted to take me, to hospital, to an accident, to you name it. So worry does take a lot of your energy. But what Paul is saying, instead of wasting the energy on worrying, spend the energy into prayer. So Paul's advice is simple. Turn your worries into prayer. Do you want to worry less? Then you need to pray more. And you will worry less. It's a guarantee. Because it worked with me. Now as soon as something goes wrong, or I hear something's going on, instead of letting my mind go where it wants to go, I just stop and pray. Just stop and pray. And I find myself so much better. I wish I knew that then, 20 odd years ago. In Matthew, let's open Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Okay, 34 it says, Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day have enough trouble of its own. Do I need to say more? So whenever you find yourself starting to worry, stop and pray. Stop and pray. And I've learned that some years ago now, and I find that helps me so much in my life. About 3 years ago when I when I fell sick, was taken to hospital, and I shared this with some of you. I was very sick. They said I had after about 3 days, first they didn't know what it was. After about 3 days, they said it was a bug that they never heard of in Australia, never been heard of around the world. I was very sick. In fact, Pastor Chris seen me when I was sick. I was at home just before I went to hospital. And they put me in isolation in a room by myself. And as soon as they found out what I had, they said, we've got to give you these antibiotics, which is bottles. It's like a drip. When they give you the drip, same bottles. They said, but the only thing, we can only give you six of these bottles, one every 12 hours. If that doesn't work, then God help me. Because they said, this is the only option I had, to take this stuff and hope it will work. On the fourth one, it didn't work. It was still not working. On the fifth one, it was during the evening. They gave it to me late in the evening. And during the night, I felt my head really, really pumping. Like the only way I can describe it is you put a vice in your head and someone is squeezing it. And I just grabbed my head. I just couldn't take it. And I just grabbed my head and I just kept praying, pain be gone in Jesus' name. That's all I could say, one after the other, repeating. And I thought, this is not working. This is the fifth bottle. I only got one left, and it's not working. But, you know, I didn't worry one bit. I just kept praying and saying, God, I'm in your hands. If you want to take me, that was another prayer I prayed. God, if you want to take me, take me. But please, don't let me go through this pain. And as I prayed for the pain to be gone, I kept saying, pain be gone in Jesus' name. I released my hand, the pain was gone, and I fell asleep. And by this time, I haven't eaten absolutely nothing. Nearly 6 days by this time, I haven't eaten nothing. The doctor, they brought me breakfast in the morning. I ate my breakfast. The doctor came. He said, how are you feeling? I said, I think I can go home now. He said, what do you mean go home? You're a very sick man. I said, I had my breakfast this morning and I haven't lost any fluids. I said, I'm feeling good. He said, no. I said, first of all, you got another bottle of antibiotics to take. And then we'll see how we go after that. Anyway, they gave me the other bottle. And the next day, the doctor came back. And he said, how are you feeling now? I said, I had breakfast, lunch, and dinner yesterday. And I had breakfast again this morning. And I'm okay. I can go home. So anyway, with some conditions, he told me what to do, and he sent me home. But you know, I was amazed myself how I was able to go through all that, don't know whether I'm going to live or die, and yet there was not one bit of worry or concern. I was amazed It's what I was telling Sue when I went out of hospital. I said, what I'm amazed about is how I trusted God completely, whether he was going to take me to be with him or whether he wanted me to stay here longer. I just left that to God. Okay. So now having established this general principle, which is worry about nothing, pray about everything. Let's look back a bit and see what Paul is telling us about how to stop worrying. Charles Swindoll, some of you read his books, he points out three key words emerging from this passage, or these passages. In verse 4, it says rejoice. Verse 5 says relax. And verse 7, it says rest. So first we are told to rejoice, which is verse 4. Worry about nothing, pray about everything. Rejoice. Verse 4 again, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Now, the word rejoice here means to be glad. It's to be glad. So after writing to a few of the members of the church at Philippi, which he told the church in chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, where he was talking about unity, to keep the unity within the church, then Paul returns to church and he tells them to rejoice. Now, doesn't that seem strange to you that a man in prison would be telling others in the church how important it is to rejoice? This is a man that's been in prison for quite a long time. So here Paul demonstrates an important lesson to me. That's how I feel, that our inner attitude do not have to reflect our outward circumstances. So it is easy to be discouraged when we find ourselves in difficult circumstances. I get discouraged sometimes. We all get discouraged when we see certain things happening. But as Christians, we may often find ourselves in circumstances in which we cannot be happy, but we can always rejoice. And that's what Paul is saying here. Because rejoicing increases hope. Rejoicing refreshes the spirit. Paul says, choose to rejoice. Choose. So when trouble comes, when storms come our way, we can choose to fall into bed and worry about what's happening or rejoice. He says, choose. See, worry does not change the circumstances. It doesn't matter how much we worry. It's not going to change the circumstances. If something happened to the kids when they were with Elder Gary at youth group, if something happened, worried in bed, feeling faintish, wasn't going to change the circumstances. But I bet you prayer would have. Prayer would have changed the circumstances. So secondly, we are told to relax. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Relax. Verse 5 says, let your gentleness be known to all men. Now, the word that is translated gentleness here, today we might say easygoing. Or it is the idea of a relaxed, easygoing lifestyle. Or to put it in today's words, lighten up. Paul isn't calling Christians to put on some empty, superficial show here of happiness. So don't take me wrong. Paul is not saying, go out there and have big smiles on your faces. You know, when everything is falling around you, you can't just go out there and smile and be happy and as if nothing is happening. That's not what Paul is saying here, okay? But what he's saying is lighten up a little. Don't take yourself or your circumstances too seriously. And thirdly, rest. Verse 7, worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Rest. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, which we just read, Paul writes, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, let your requests be made known to God. Do we let God know how we feel? or do we leave him as a last resort? Do we run to everyone when we come up with a problem? Or do we let God know first? Sometimes I think, I know in my past, God always came last. I would run maybe to a friend or a counselor or a pastor, and then if everything else failed, then I turn to God. It should be the other way around, shouldn't it? We should consult God first. Yes, nothing wrong with seeing the pastor or a counselor. There's nothing wrong with that. But first, we need to run to God and tell him about the situation, about what we're facing. So in other words, don't worry, relax. Whatever is troubling you, giving you an anxiety attack, or weighing heavily on your heart, that is what you are to pray about. How many people I've heard, oh, I don't know what, when I say, you know, pray about the situation. Oh, I don't know what to pray about. Pray about the situation. Whatever you're going through, just pray about it. Now, concerning this, Charles Swindoll has written this. He said, the more we practice giving our mental burden to the Lord, the more exciting it gets to see how God will handle the things that are impossible for you to do anything about. So, look, God does not promise that he will remove all the problems that were the initial cause of our anxiety, but he does promise us peace. God promises us peace. And that promise is found in verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, let's have a look at it quickly. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He cares for you. Cast all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. He loves you. He doesn't want to see you hurting. He doesn't want to see any of us hurting. God loves us. How much easier it is to put all your anxieties, everything, onto him. And he allows us to do that. He tells us to do that. You see, the peace of God is not something that we can manufacture. It's not something that we can buy or earn. It is a result of a heart that is totally surrendered to God. And the only way we can have the peace of God is to have peace with God. The only way you can have the peace of God is to have peace with God. Have you made that peace with God? Because that's the first thing we need to do. That's the first thing we do when we accept Christ into our lives. See, when we transfer all our troubles to God through prayer, Paul tells us that it will surpass all understanding. All understanding. And people simply will not be able to understand the peace that the Christians will have in time of crisis. And in that time of crisis, as I said before, when I was in hospital, it was just beyond me, even myself. I was so amazed how calm I was, how I wasn't worried that I'm going to die, I might die. It's just that peace that fell on me at that time. See, our joy is found in Jesus, the Bible tells us. Our joy is found in Jesus, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in May this year, we took a cruise, me and Sue and my son and his family, in the Mediterranean. And the ship was only 3 years old. So it had what they call stabilizers. They come out from each side of the ship. And what they do, they keep the ship from rocking from one side to the other. And you thank God for stabilizers when you're in rough seas. Now, what stabilizes are to a ship in strong seas. Christ's indwelling spirit is to the Christian in the storms of life. Those stabilizers will help us stabilize our lives. You know, it's amazing. When we trust in God, you know, I had a friend of mine who was supposed to have known God, but only his denomination. No other denomination was going to heaven. And I was speaking to him one time, and he said, my son, he become like you. I said, what do you mean? He said, he came one of those born-again Christians. And first he was telling me how much medication he's taking. He said, look, I seen him at the chemist. Big bag full of medication. He said, I got this wrong. He said, there's a lot of stuff wrong with me. And then he told me about his son. I said, oh, that's great. I said, have you asked your son to pray for you? I said, has he been praying? He said, what? He prays for me? He goes, I kicked him out of the house as soon as he told me he became a Christian. So you kicked him out of the house? I said, yeah, because he left the religion. You know, some people don't understand the power of prayer. He's thinking, well, his denomination or his God, whoever his God is gonna might fix all his problem. You know, if he only knew how much God wanted him to come to him and pray about his situation, rather than, you know, kicking his son out of the house. In fact, his son had to ended up living in Werribee after that. Prayer. So, and Pastor Chris spoke about prayer last week as well. It's powerful. Don't underestimate prayer. You know, when you go in, not if you go through storms. We all go through storms. You know, I go through things as well. Each one of us does. Seek God first. Tell God your problem. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed how God will come through. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we do thank you, Lord God, this morning. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord God, that gives us assurance, Lord, assurance that you are with us, Lord. And Lord, as your word tells us, Lord, you never leave us nor forsake us. So whether we're going through a storm or whether we're having a good day, Lord, we can trust in you. For you're a good God who loves us so much, Father. So, Lord, we just want to say thank you this morning. Thank you for what you do for us, Lord God. And help us to never take that for granted, what you do for each one of us, Lord. So I pray, Lord God, for your people, Lord God, to really start to seek you, Lord. And when they see storms coming, Lord, Lord, they will turn to you straight away. Before anyone else, Lord, they will turn to you and bring their requests before you, as you've told us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.